Mr. Hernandez.
May it please the court, counsel.
My name is Renee Hernandez. I represent the plaintiff, Dennis Brennan. I'm the second attorney in this case, filing a notice of appeal on Mr. Brennan's behalf. Ultimately, this case is all about whether or not this court is interested in construing evidence differently than Judge Lindberg did. And basically, it comes down to whether or not Kowalski's statement, the foreman, has any additional value that can be construed in a light more favorable to him in the summary judgment proceeding. Kowalski's statement indicating certain propositions as to whether or not other individuals were allowed to leave the premises. Now remember what we're talking about, motor truck drivers for the city of Chicago working out at O'Hare. Kowalski is the foreman with ultimate authority over to Mr. Brennan along with Mr. LaMonica. And then Kowalski indicates clearly in his statement, even though it's a one sentence statement, indicates that that others had engaged in this particular activity.
But no one is named, and he conceded that he couldn't even remember ever being involved in disciplining any driver for leaving the airfield for free.
And I agree, and that's the reason why we come here today to determine whether or not that has any particular value. Can that be construed as indirect circumstantial evidence that other individuals within that employee class would have been disciplined for that conduct or not disciplined? I think it takes the other approach from our perspective, from a plaintiff's perspective or the non-moving party perspective. I think the evidentiary value should fall for us in that sense that it should be construed in the light more favorable to us. And that is, circumstantially, the evidence doesn't come out and say that all these people were disciplined or not disciplined. But certainly, it seems to indicate, and I think it's a reasonable inference from that, that others were not disciplined. He's the foreman. He's the guy. He's the big guy, and he should know who's being disciplined for what conduct. And I don't think it goes to the city's way when he says a statement, well, I don't recall, or I think the statement was, I don't believe so. I'm taking that out of page 11 of the statement of facts of the defendant's brief. When you say that, does that reference or that inference then go to the city in terms of all of its evidentiary weight? The argument ultimately comes to us and say, well, we're asking this court to construe it in our favor versus the moving party's favor. Without Kowalski's statement being construed differently, obviously there is no analysis that goes up the chain. I mean, you know, the city has brought up different arguments. But ultimately, Kowalski, we live and die by Kowalski's statement, whether or not it has more probative or evidential value than obviously Judge Lindberg had given it. I mean, the city also brings up whether or not he was qualified under the ADA period, and then he talks about other things. But ultimately, from our standpoint, without this court considering that statement as having more value, we don't get anywhere. So I'm asking this court to review that and to look at it in a light more favorable to him, and to find that Judge Lindberg's ruling was a little narrow with regard to that particular piece of evidence. With regard to such things as whether or not he was qualified, clearly we have an individual, multiple heart attack victim, who is precarious in his condition on a day-to-day event. We know that he's on medication. We also know that he has difficulty in his day-to-day living activities. All right, he has such things, and which testimony in the record says that such things as avoid excessive heat, not work at night, take a break when you need it. The city wants to narrow that particular construction and say, well, that doesn't really fit the bill. But other people that it seems to say in the population group don't have the problem of if they go overboard, if they do not take care of themselves, if they do not take a break or avoid the excessive heat, they're not in a predicament where they're going to keel over. Whereas my client is in that predicament. I mean, he's in a dangerous predicament just by his sheer nature. And most of us don't have three heart attacks as a history. This individual does. He's teetering on a very dangerous situation on a day-to-day basis. So I think that he should and be properly categorized as an individual under the ADA who would qualify as an individual in that category. Again, I'll talk about Mr. Kowalski's statement for the purposes of the court. If we're to construe the evidential value in our favor, I think it's also reasonable to conclude, since no one else was disciplined, that we don't even have to get into the next analysis of whether other employees with similar records were even talking about, since it seems to say that no one was disciplined for this same very conduct. And if no one was disciplined, then I don't think we need to match discipline records with other employees who are similarly situated. Given that, I'm asking this court to review Judge Lindbergh's final decision and his memorandum and to reverse it and allow this matter, because one sentence can be enough to go to a jury to cause a trier, a material issue of fact to go to the trier of fact. And I'm asking this court to reverse it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel. Ms. Layton.
May it please the court. Your Honor, Mr. Brennan was discharged after being explicitly warned not to leave the airport premises without the permission of his supervisors, and yet he left the premises of the airport after asking permission from someone else's supervisor. That misconduct, coupled with his prior disciplinary history, led to his termination. Now, in this ADA case, Mr. Brennan pursues only one method of establishing discrimination, a prima facie case under McDonnell Douglas. But in order to do so, he needed to establish four necessary elements, and he failed to establish two of those four. First, that a similarly situated non-disabled employee received more favorable treatment than he did, and second, that he is disabled as that term is defined under the ADA. The district court, because he failed to establish his prima facie case, the district court appropriately granted summary judgment to the city. Under the similarly situated prong of his prima facie case, Mr. Brennan needed to identify someone who was not disabled, who committed the same misconduct as he did, who had a similar disciplinary record to his, and yet who was treated differently than he was, who was not disciplined or terminated in the manner that he was. Mr. Brennan doesn't identify anybody at all. He points only to Kowalski's testimony, which his counsel again brought forward to this court this morning. But Kowalski's testimony is insufficient to raise an inference that he was treated differently because of his heart condition. Mr. Kowalski testified that he is sure it's happened that other motor truck drivers have left for a break without following the prescribed procedure. But Mr. Brennan's misconduct was not just taking a break without asking permission from a supervisor. It was actually leaving the airport premises where his supervisors couldn't find him without asking permission from his supervisors. So Mr. Kowalski's testimony does not raise an inference that there is any other motor truck driver out there who did the same thing that Mr. Brennan did. Nor does Mr. Kowalski's testimony raise the inference that any motor truck driver who committed similar misconduct, if there was such a motor truck driver, was not disciplined for doing so. Mr. Kowalski again testified only that he personally was not involved in disciplining a motor truck driver who failed to follow the procedures. But that, of course, does not show that such a motor truck driver was not disciplined by Mr. Nick LaMonica, the other motor truck driver foreman, or by anyone else in the Department of Aviation. So again, Mr. Kowalski's testimony does not raise the necessary inference that if there was another motor truck driver out there who did what Mr. Brennan did, he wasn't punished in the same manner that Mr. Brennan was. And it was Mr. Brennan's responsibility to identify someone to satisfy his prima facie case. But leaving that aside, even if Mr. Kowalski's testimony were sufficient on those two points, Mr. Brennan still fails to make out his prima facie case because he does not show that any motor truck driver who left the premises and wasn't punished was not disabled in comparison to himself. Mr. Brennan needed to find someone or to identify someone who doesn't have his same condition in order to raise the inference that the reason he was treated as he was because of his heart condition, as opposed to simply because of the misconduct that he committed. And if without identifying someone who was not disabled, he was unable to do that. And finally, for the same reason, Mr. Brennan failed to identify somebody who had a similar disciplinary record to his. So even if Mr. Kowalski's testimony showed that, in fact, there was another motor truck driver who committed the same misconduct, who was not punished, and who was not disabled, we don't know, based on anything in the record, whether that individual shared the disciplinary history that Mr. Brennan has. Mr. Brennan has two prior incidents of discrimination, of discipline in his background. We don't know whether the other motor truck driver had the same number of incidents, and if not, then perhaps the difference in their treatment could be explained on that basis. So for all those reasons, Mr. Brennan fails to make out the similarly situated element of his prima facie case. We also raise in our brief in this court that Mr. Brennan is not qualified under the ADA because he doesn't have a disability as that term is defined. And while the district court did not rule on this basis, we raised this argument in our motion for summary judgment below. And of course, this court can affirm the judgment of the district court on any ground supported by the record and by the law. To qualify as disabled under the ADA, Mr. Brennan needed to show that his heart condition substantially limited one of his major life activities. And there's one piece of evidence in the record that is dispositive on this question, and that is the doctor's note. After his third heart attack, Mr. Brennan's doctor released him to return to work, quote, without restriction. In light of this doctor's note, no reasonable trier of fact could find that he, Mr. Brennan, was substantially limited in doing anything because his doctor imposed no restrictions whatsoever on him after he left, after his final heart attack. And so for this additional reason, the district court appropriately granted summary judgment because Mr. Brennan cannot make out his prima facie case. So unless there are any questions, for these reasons, we ask the court to affirm the judgment of the district court. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Ms. Layton. Anything further, Mr. Hernandez?
I'd like to at least talk about the individual with the disability. That takes many forms, and whether or not he's restricted, I think, is completely irrelevant to the analysis. What do we know? Individuals without limbs, eyes, hearing, all kinds of ways we can be handicapped or as that defined without having restrictions on their given physical person, saying you're restricted from doing this or that. What do we know? We know he's three heart attacks. We know he's literally on medication. He's on medication at the time. His supervisors know this, all right? And he is in a condition where he can't push himself, because if he does, it can be fatal. That's the distinction. He's in a situation where this particular class of people belong in a disabled category because they're teetering. If they don't take care of themselves, if they're not respecting their particular physical predicament, it could be over. So given all that, I think that the city's view is very narrow, and I don't think that it should be supported in that particular basis. Again, we ask this court to reverse the lower court rule. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. The case is taken.